It's in Florida, it's oil.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Do I have good morning? Anyway, doesn't seem to be a moderator here this morning, so I'll kick off anyway. Going to talk today about mandatory environmental measures that are in place in Ireland regarding NMP. So Ireland's agriculture is currently constrained by our statutory instrument that's enforced by Europe. These are known to us as the National Action Programme, our programme of measures under the Water Framework Directive. So they're capping NMP inputs into agriculture. The constraints on farmers are closed spreading periods. So during the winter months, farmers are not allowed to spread slurries or organic manures. This means that they must have slurry storage. Livestock intensity on these farms is also capped at 170 kilograms of organic nitrogen across the board. There's also other constraints on by way of phosphorus tests, where farmers can only apply certain amounts, and the same with nitrogen. For tillage farmers, it constrains ploughing. So again, during winter months, green cover must be maintained so farmers can't plough. There is an exemption for farmers. They can apply for a derogation under certain criteria. They get to increase their livestock intensity from 170 kilograms of organic N up to 250 kilograms. And this affects approximately 20% of livestock units in the country. One thing that was mandated under these regulations was that each country, each member state, has to put in a monitoring program. And in Ireland, the form of this program is the Agricultural Catchments Program. So why? It's an obligation, as I've said, to monitor the progress and impacts of these policies. This agricultural catchment program will evaluate good agricultural practice or best management practices, as it would be in the States, and it also collects data to support our derogation. The impacts from nutrient transfers from land to water bodies are revealed from catchment's chemical state and load and ecological status. This is a real representation for agriculture. The water framework use management units, and these river basins or catchments are represent such units under this directive. It also gives us a better understanding of farmers' attitudes. These rules and regulations have been in force. The first document came out in 2006, and we're assuming for this research that farmers are compliant since 2006. It's very important from a policy standpoint, as it becomes the data generated in this program become a basis for any future modifications from a policy standpoint. It's a very big funded project by the Department of Agriculture, Food and Fisheries and the Department of the Environment as key stakeholders. So choosing catchments. Basically, we use the top-down approach, multi-criteria decision analysis in GIS, and we were looking for a scale of 2 to 12 kilometres square with a stream order 3 or less, so they're headwater catchments. This generated approximately 1,300 catchments in a first sweep around the entire island of Ireland. We added further criteria, so we wanted to keep our intensity, farming intensity, very high. So we looked at national data sets for live units per hectare, so stocking density. We wanted to pick areas with arable catchments versus grassland or pasture, and minimise forestry and population. So we wanted to get a true signal for agriculture. Other transport factors that we looked at were soil type, geology and groundwater. So these were to look at different risks, P versus N, in these catchments. We used this rank selection, and we also applied some more practical criteria, such as we visited each of the catchments, looked at hydrometry, access, power and communications, and other factors. And we came up with approximately 100 catchments. The red catchments are our tillage, and our, the green catchments are predominantly pasture or grassland. You'll notice here that they're in the eastern part of the country and in the southeast, as the northwest of the country is predominantly karst. So this criteria didn't really work for that area of the country, as it's very hard to delineate catchments. However, we do have a representative catchment, which is approximately 35 square kilometres in this area, so it's rather large. Our experimental design is quite a large team. We have four programme advisors. This is to help us ensure or to back up that each of the farmers are compliant since 2006. So we're going around, we're visiting the farms, asking for permissions, looking at their management, their inputs, that kind of thing. So the advisory component is very important to this research. We're also looking at socioeconomic attitudes and income. So how have attitudes changed since these policies came into force? And has it hit income in any way, negatively or positively? The biophysical side of things, linking management to the environment. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the next couple of slides. We have our conceptual model, so we have our sources. These sources become mobilised pathways through the soils and over the soils to the river. You have the delivery and the impacts. At this scale, it's things we can definitely do is we can do whole catchment audits on all the sources and the deliveries. We have these catchments are highly instrumented, so we can get all the inputs and we can look at the deliveries, so what's leaving the catchment. However, in the centre here, it becomes a little bit more fuzzy at this scale. So we're looking at demonstration studies to back up our conceptual thinking for these. Downstream, we're looking at river ecology and other assessments of the impacts of these current measures. So as I've just explained, we have our conceptual thinking. However, in these catchments, we also have other factors to consider. So we have, although minimised through housing density, we also have domestic sewage and effluent, NNP. Both diffuse and point sources coming from the landscape and from farmyards. We've direct discharge in some of our catchments to watercourses, and the impacts, we have eutrophication of local watercourses and also the seasonal impacts. So the types of data we're collecting, the what, where, when and how much. Basically, we're looking at all our inputs, where they're going, when they're going on, the seasonality, and the quantities, and this is where the advisors, the advisory service or extension service comes in on this catchment. So breaking down these nutrient inputs or sources, we're looking at things on multiple levels, multiple scales. So we have field by field nutrient inputs and status, farm by farm, different enterprises in different areas and different catchments. How are they contributing to nutrient loads in the rivers, and point. We also have wastewater treatment and septic systems that we need to identify and identify the risks to nutrients entering the water systems. We've conducted a soil nutrient census and to identify area of nutrient hotspots around these catchments. As you can see here, I have a picture of one of our catchments. This is a mixture of a tillage and a grassland catchment, which would be pretty typical in Ireland, in the southeastern side of Ireland. These soil census data are used to inform other parts of the catchment experimental design. For example, in conjunction with landscape and stream connectivity modelling. So we have models generated for connectivity to the stream, and if there's hotspots in the upland areas of these and they're connected, that's where we are primarily targeting for focus studies. These are also a basis for a nutrient management plan and advisory work, so it has that component going back to the farmers or growers. It also facilitates scouting of fields and the landscape, and as a part of our nutrient loss index rating for each field or our management unit. So this is typically the type of maps we can generate for our catchments. This is phosphorus. What we're particularly interested here is these fields with index 4 or above, because these are our hotspots, and if we can link these to nutrient loads in the streams, then we can identify which areas are particularly vulnerable to nutrient loss, and try to put protocols in place through our advisory system to reduce these losses. Also, from another standpoint, from an agronomic standpoint, fields that are substatus in nutrients, these may affect the uptake of other nutrients, as you know, crops may be underperforming in these areas. So that's another issue. Comparing phosphorus and potassium levels in these catchments, the footprints are very different. As you can see, we have an area of index 4 of high phosphorus here. However, the corresponding potassium levels seem to be somewhat reduced in that area. This has a lot to do with difference in soil type, but also in previous practices, and that will become very important as some of our catchments are very responsive to nutrient offtake and outflows, whereas others retain nutrients due to buffering and that in the soils. So this is important for us building up our picture of how previous management is impacting the water today. So again, a very different picture for this potassium. You can see that there's less potassium is not going to be a big issue from a water quality standpoint. However, it may impact other nutrients due to reduced uptake if the status is off. So we from this, we're building field nutrient loss indices for each field to identify the riskier areas. And these are the type of rating factors that we're considering. We also have nutrient balances on a farm level. These measures are enforced at a farm level. However, if things are going to change from a water quality standpoint, we need to be getting down to the finer scale to a field level, as nutrients, typically slurries, will usually be spread close to the farmyard or barn, whereas maybe with correct nutrient management, it may be feasible or more practical from a nutrient standpoint to spread them further away and get the benefits of enhanced uptake. So just a brief look at a typical field under spring barley in one of these catchments. As you can see, we have our inputs and we have our offtakes, and for nitrogen in this case on a spring barley crop, we seem to have more, approximately 20 kilograms per hectare being offtaken. So it's a negative balance, whereas from a phosphorus standpoint, we seem to have more going on than coming off. It's this kind of thing that helps us focus in on the areas within these catchments that we need to have more input and management. Our pathways, this is where it gets a little bit more complicated. Some of the catchments are groundwater driven, whereas others are more surface driven. On our what we think are more groundwater driven, we're using this shows a slice from a transect, one of our transects, a hill slope, and as you can see, we have more weathered areas or soil horizons up here in the top, where you're getting down to bedrock, impermeable bedrock down here on the bottom. So what we're doing in these cases is we're picking a couple of transects that represent a lot of the catchments, and we're putting in multi-level wells to see can we track nutrient movement and kind of add to our conceptual thinking to prove that these catchments are being driven from a subsurface versus a surface driven nutrient movement. We also have, as I mentioned, we have a lot of instrumentation. We have met and outlet information. So as you can see here, this shows rainfall events and the corresponding water level. As you can see here, there seems to be storage issues with the catchments. We're increasing our storage. So our baseline water levels are increasing here as we get more rainfall. Very quickly, this is a typical setup. We have bankside analyzers, so we're getting high resolution data from outputs. And this is typically the type of thing from first snapshot of data from October this year. Last month, our phosphorus levels corresponding to our water levels. So we're evaluating farming systems, soils and landscape, pathways, the delivery out of the catchment. So our chemical standards in our receptors, ecology of receptors, farmer attitudes, economics, and we also are adding some value through PhD works and different collaborations and networks. Our challenges, we've no baseline, so these are our new catchments. We've limited control and replication, so we can do comparison studies with other catchments, but we have nothing at the moment to compare with. We have that assumption of compliance, which we're hoping that the advisors can help us out with. The other things, we have limited time frame. Some of these catchments may have a long lag time, and how do we show change in over shorter time periods? And our current economic climate is not helping things either. It's difficult to go out and talk with farmers and ask them for more information when, you know, things are going bad in the sector, certainly in Ireland at the moment. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for coming and answer any questions if we have time. With all
time. There's no moderator in this session, so we're already a little bit behind. So if you all don't mind, you can ask questions.
I guess that might have been an oversight. I don't know.
Do you want someone to talk?
That would be fantastic.
I wonder if I raise my. We're at about 11:50 now, so.